Well, it is an honor to be here and to be speaking. I was thinking when Jim was preaching that he never got introduced, so I'm going to introduce him. He was talking about relationship, and one of the things that Jim has been just incredible, when I was new in the ministry, I think I'm still kind of new in the ministry. Some of you are 20, 30 years. I'm like 6 years in or 5 years in, but when Jim stood with our church and with me through some of the hardest, biggest battles that we've ever had. And that we've ever had for now. But he stood beside, and I honor him. I'm so thankful for you. I'm thankful for your wife. I was thinking also while he was preaching of my beginning years of texting David McGrew and complaining. And David didn't like pat me on the back or feel sorry for me at all, but I was complaining about not having anybody, not having any friends. And one of the things that David said to me is, spend the money, do the time, find the people, like go do it, go do it, go make connections and do whatever it takes to do it. And so just an encouragement. I'm still working on that and still have some wonderful relationships that are flourishing. But every time that the relationships begin to go deeper, I begin to think of David and his words to me. I wanna share my heart with you. And I believe that, I do believe that it's a word from God, but one of the scripture verses that has been ringing over and over in my heart and in my life is this in Colossians 4:17. Be sure to carry out the ministry that the Lord gave you. Be sure to carry it out. The ministry that the Lord gave you, carry it out. And so I begin to ask myself, am I carrying out? Am I carrying it out? The ministry that he gave me, not the ministry he gave someone else or not what I think it should look like. Am I carrying the ministry? Have I shut down in some place? Am I carrying it out? In the springtime, I found myself emotionally exhausted. And I would just, I remember sitting on my couch and just being like, God, I need you to reach me. I need you to help me because I am so tired. And I think a lot of us can probably agree with what that felt like. You know, we go into COVID and that kind of just took us by surprise. We didn't really see it coming in all that it would look like. And so we went from being open to being closed, to being open to closed and regulations and trying to catch up on the regulations. I remember one day I did an Instagram post announcing to the church, okay, these are the regulations. This is what this Sunday will look like, only to have like 2 hours later doing another Instagram post saying, okay, this is what the regulations are, you know, and just staying on top. We were shut down. For 2 weeks, our whole entire church was shut down for 2 weeks. Anyone that had attended one Sunday service, they all had to isolate from their jobs for 2 weeks. There was just, you know, just thing after thing. In the middle of it, I lost my father. And so there was just like these things, you know? And so I came to this place and I just like, God, I'm so tired. And I thankfully got to go on holiday shortly after that. But I got away and it was some of the most beautiful times I've had with the Lord, deep times in his presence and in the word of God. And he just began to speak to me and he began to talk to my heart. And one of the things that he began to talk to me was my heart, which is crazy because if you know me and you know my life message, I will always be like, how's your heart? What's going on in your heart? Do you have things in your heart that need to be healed? Are you hardening your heart? But here I found him talking to me about my heart. And he began to say things to me and show me things that there had been hurts and there had been wounds along the way, even before COVID. That little by little, I began to harden myself. Little by little, I used to shut people out because of the accusations and the the criticism and the hurt. You guys know, pastors here know what I'm talking about, right? So, and so it was like little by little, I began to have this hardness of heart that began. And God said to me, if you don't deal with your heart, the enemy will take your ministry. And so he began to deal with my heart and began to show me little bits of things in my own life of disappointments that had come where I just began to shut the door, shut the door, shut the door. And like that scripture said, I recognized that I wasn't carrying out the ministry. I was showing up. And I did the meetings and I did the counseling and I did the organizing and I did the preaching and I did the things. But there was a part of me that wasn't showing up, showing fully up. And so I came out of holidays and I just felt refreshed. I mean, thank God, I just felt like he had just done just wonders. And so I was getting ready to preach on a Sunday morning and I went downstairs to pray. And like I always do, I have a prayer room. And so I'm praying and God began to download this message to me. And I knew in a moment that it was a message to set me free, but I knew as soon as it came that this wasn't just for me, this was for other ministers too. So I want us to go to 1 Kings. I got to get there and then I'll tell you what verse we're going to. First Kings 19. So of course, we're talking about Elijah and Jezebel and Ahab. I'm not going to talk about the spirit of Jezebel. That's not what I'm here to talk about, but we know the, it's a great message. I'm not going to do that. We know how the story begins where Elijah says to Ahab, you know, you better get ready. And there's going to be there's a cloud coming, there's rain coming. And so Elijah sends out his guy. This is an 18, I'm just setting it up. So Elijah sends out his guy to go look to the sky. And he keeps coming back 7 times. He comes back and he's like, I don't see anything. There's nothing. There isn't anything there. And he says, go back out. And I was reading that and the Lord said to me, you need to understand that as a leader, you will see things before the people do. That's why you cannot back away when they begin to speak and when criticism begins to come. And so finally the guy goes out and he's like, oh, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. And then Elijah says, go tell Ahab. And then Ahab goes and whatever. And then Elijah takes Red Bull and runs really fast. And it's, you know the story, I don't need to tell you. But then we have 19, Ahab shows up and he's telling Jezebel everything that happened. I think that he was excited. I think he was like, this was crazy. This guy did this and then he did this and then he did this. And Jezebel gets mad. She gets angry and she says, may the gods strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them. And then it says, Elijah was afraid and he fled for his life. Elijah could have called down fire from heaven. Elijah could have sought God and been like, deal with this chick. Like, but instead, one thing said, and he goes running for his life. It says, he went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. Anyone ever been in that place? Like, God, I am done, done, done. Just, if it ends now, it's just fine. I've been there. Then he laid down and he slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. He looked around and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and he lied down again. Then the angel of the Lord came again, touched him and said, get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead will be too much for you. I read that and I said, I felt God say, I didn't say it. Well, you don't get to stay here. You don't get to stay here. Get up. And I felt this morning as I was praying that there are some here that have said, this is fine. I don't need to go any farther than this. This is good. And I felt like the Lord say, you still have a journey ahead of you. Get up. Get up. You don't get to stay here. At the very least, you don't get to stay in your pain. You don't get to stay in your hardness of heart. So he took up and he ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah replied, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down the altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left. And now they are trying to kill me. Let me just say this. First of all, one of the lies or the echoes in my heart on a regular basis is I'm all alone. It's just me. I'm alone. I can't go to anyone. I'm alone. And many times God will be like, now tell me, is that the truth? Well, no. I feel alone, but I'm not alone. You're not alone. And so Elijah's here saying, God says, why are you here? He says, well, the people. And I think of myself sitting on the couch, crying out to God, feeling alone, feeling hurt, feeling exhausted, parts of my heart closed up, and God, and me calling out to God, and God saying, what are you doing here? Well, the people. I'm justified in the way I feel right now. I'm justified in my hardness of heart. I'm justified in just doing the motions and pushing people out and keeping part of my ministry at bay, what God has called me to do, because the people. Because the things that have gone on, because COVID. So it says, God says to him, go out and stand before me on the mountain. And the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were turned loose. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord wasn't in the fire either. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and he went out and he stood in the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, same thing. I have zealously served you, God. In other words, I have done everything for you. Here I am showing up day after day after day. But the people. But the people. And I felt like God would say this to us today. Maybe not all of us, maybe some of us. But there have been places in our life that we stop showing up in our ministry, in the call of God in our life, and we stop showing up. Put it away because it hurt. Put it away because it felt bad. Whatever it was, the disappointments, the expectations, whatever it is. And I heard the Lord say this to us today. What are you doing here? This isn't what I have for you. And so then, the Lord told him, go back the same way you came. And that morning, getting ready for church, I heard the Lord say, go back the same way that you came. In other words, step into the place that I've called you. There was a time when I'd first started, before I started pastoring, I've always been prophetic by nature. That's just a worship leader. It's just who I was. And I would minister, I would preach. Before I was pastor, I would preach and I would flow in the prophetic. It would just come out of me. It was natural and it would come out of me. And then I became pastor and suddenly there was negative talk. There were things said. I could feel resistance. And so I would kind of struggle with it. And one day I just decided, the people. And I shut it down. And I remember going home, driving home from church and just sobbing like, God, is this it? Do I just let go of who I am? And I made a decision in that moment that because the people, that I wouldn't show up in the giftings and the callings that God would have me do. Oh, I'd do the things. I'd do exactly what you want me to do. But there was a piece of me that had shut down. And so this Sunday morning where I'm praying and I heard the Lord say, go back. I felt him calling me to step back into the place that I've called you. And I felt that for us this morning, it is time for you to step back into the place that God has called you. In the rest of the verse, he says, go back. You're going to meet this person and you're going to meet this person and you're going to anoint Elisha. That there is that once we step back into our lane or step back into the place that God has called us to be, there are people along the way that need us and we need them. But because we've hardened ourselves and shut down, we're not in the place that God has us. Actually, interesting. My dad, he left me his Bible. And in his Bible is like you can barely read it because there's just so many notes and so much revelation that he had and it's just all over the place. And so as God was downloading this to me, I was like, I wonder what his revelation was this. I'm just going to go look. And so I open it up and I'm reading 1 Kings and I'm just kind of reading his notes and all the things. And at the bottom of it, it said, because Elijah went into hiding, the people had no courage. You can just take that as my own revelation. That's fine. Because the people went into hiding, or because Elijah went into hiding, the people had no courage. And I thought, of all the times that the people need courage is now. It's time for us to step back into place. And this is what God said to me. You are terrified of being fully immersed. But fully immersed means fully alive. The moment you give your yes is the moment you will begin to see breath enter back in, momentum pick back up, and strength enter in. Doors open and miracles happen. And I believe that for us, that there are some that are showing up here like, I'm exhausted. I got no momentum. I got no ambition. I don't know. I would encourage you to check your hearts. Encourage you to check the places in your heart where you've checked out. Encourage you to check the places in your heart where you have withdrawn yourself and said, God, no, not there anymore because that hurt too much. And once again, like we did when we went into ministry, you know, maybe blindly, I've said this many times, I grew up a pastor's kid. I know what it's like to be a pastor's kid. I watched my dad in the ministry. I watched the struggle. I watched the tears. I had no idea what I was getting into until I got into it. No idea. You could, and so we give this, yes, God, yes, until we get in. And it's like, I didn't understand it was going to be like this or feel like this. I didn't know. And so we begin to shut down pieces and we say, yes, this part of me, yes, this part of me, but not that, that hurt. And God says to you today that if you will give your yes and become fully immersed, you'll become fully alive and you will see breath enter back into those places. Amen. Amen. So I'll just go back to Colossians again and ask you this question. Are you carrying out the ministry that God gave you? That God entrusted us with? Are you carrying out the ministry? Father, I just pray for every person here. Father, you know our hearts better than we know our hearts. And so, Holy Spirit, I just ask right now that you are illuminating the places in our hearts and our lives where we have put walls up, shut doors, and maybe said no. And Father, I just pray that those doors open right now in Jesus' name and that there is healing that is flowing to those places. Healing to the places where people have attacked us, accusations that have happened, or just plain exhaustion. And Father, I just declare healing over them in Jesus' name. And that these people here will carry out the ministry in the places and the positions that you have placed them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.